Hey, welcome to The Deadline. I'm Laura, your host and founder of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society. I'm here with Brian Sant, the NJGHS tech guru and producer of The Deadline. Hello.
And I'm full.
Ugh. Yeah. Dude, that was some good grub. He took me to Johnny Rockets. I was just going to be happy with a 99-cent value meal from Wendy's.
But he's like, you could have had that chili.
Yeah, I hate... I like Wendy's chili. It's just they put beans in it, and I don't like beans because it's a whole texture thing with me. Beans don't really taste bad.
No.
But they don't taste.
They're good for your heart. And the more you eat, the more you...
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, I like baked beans because they have a flavor.
Mm-hmm.
But beans in and of themselves, like when you put kidney beans in chili,
right. Yeah.
It's just... And then it's that texture. It just grosses my mouth out. I can't handle it.
So that was good chili.
But that was good. We had the chili cheese fries with fresh chopped onions on top. That burger was huge.
That was only a single. They had a double.
And I ate the whole thing. That's how hungry I was.
That's rare.
That was really good. And you had a strawberry banana shake. That was yummy. Let me taste it. That was really good. And the iced tea was good, too. That's what I love when you get, like, fresh iced tea like mm-hmm. that. It's really... So that was good. So welcome to The Deadline. Food Corner with Laura and Brian.
They'll tell you where to eat.
Yeah. That was one of my specialties back when I had a, quote, real job. And I used to book all these meetings and dinners.
And
things. Remember that?
I remember when you had a real job.
Yeah. God, that was what, back in 2007? Oh, no. Because by that point, Cadbury had ruined everything. So I guess 2002, June of 2002, I was hired by Pfizer. And that's when my best real job of my life kicked in. And by 2005-ish, they got rid of us to Cadbury, right?
Uh-huh.
No, it must have been even sooner. 2002? Yeah, maybe it was around 2004 they bumped us over to... Yeah. Bummer. But for a while there, while working for Pfizer, and I used to be... I was the go-to girl for people. Like, oh, we're doing a luncheon. We're doing a dinner for so-and-so's anniversary. So-and-so's with the company. Da-da-da. What's a good restaurant? And somehow I could always, like, pick out, like... And people would go and they'd come back raving about all the food, all this, all that. And I'm like, I don't know.
Don't tell
you. Yeah. But anyway... So, I hope you have all remembered to vote for The Deadline on Podcast Alley.
Yeah, right.
PodcastAlley.com. The link is on the homepage of the NJGHS.net site, as well as the Deadline page of said website. So please just click on it. You just put in your email address. You don't have to leave a comment, and your email address is not displayed for all to see. They just use that to send you a confirming email that you click on the link they send you, and that confirms your vote. The more votes we get, the better we look. And we're really hurting for a while there. So I'm hoping now that it's December, make that a little Christmas gift for Laura and Brian and vote on Podcast Alley.
Yeah, right. Cheap people.
Oh, no, seriously, I'm not giving gifts either. Well, you and I have had this discussion. This year it's like, you know, Grinch City, you know.
This year it's like the olden days. Mm-hmm. You know, just say hi.
Just your nuts roasting on an open fire.
You know? I'm getting that way.
But yeah, oh, you know, we should have had some Bob Rivers. Well, we could do another show before Christmas, I guess.
And no one cares.
Oh, well, whatever. We'll work in some Christmas tunage. I mean, you know.
What Bah humbug.
Yeah, really. I know it's depressing, isn't it? But I don't think we're alone, Brian. I think the nation is, you know. And I love the way they're saying, well, you know, we're in a recession. I'm like, okay. It's not as bad as the Great Depression. I'm like, hello, it is the Great Depression. Just because you political correct idiots don't want to call it for what it is. Well, let me enlighten you, right? It is a depression.
It's a depression. It's not... I don't think it's comparable to the Great Depression.
Well, maybe
it is. It's a depression.
I would say it's much worse than that, and here's why. If you look at the percentages they give, they say, well, you know, during the Great Depression, unemployment was at 12% or whatever it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've hit 10%. Okay, we are now at a 10% unemployment rate nationally. Now, during the Great Depression, how many flipping people lived in the United States? not as many as there are living here now. Okay. So 10% of a hell of a lot more people now being unemployed is a would probably have been 20 or 25%. You see what I'm saying? In relative to the base of what you're going by.
Right, but people are also making a lot more than they did back then as well.
And our expenses are a lot more.
Right.
I mean, you know, when you were paying $5 a month for rent for a one-bedroom apartment, I'm paying close to $900 now. Okay? So it's still all relative, and I think the only reason you don't see people lining up, and they do say, though, they sent out a special bulletin from my church. The food pantry is bone dry because there are more people showing up at these food pantries and the different places and churches where they put food out that people donate, and it's gone. I mean, people are coming to that. So maybe we're not as lined up around the block as at a soup kitchen like they show those old film clips from the Great Depression. But in the Great Depression, they didn't have MasterCard and Visa that we have today.
True.
So I think a lot of people have either what was left of their 401ks, like mine, I depleted just trying to live off of paying bills. And then people used plastic. You know, well, I had to get charged gas to go for a job interview so I could get to the damn interview. So I had to use my credit card to put gas. People are using all the plastic they didn't really have back then. So we're not as overtly lined up for a soup kitchen. But people, let's call it what it is. We really are. I mean, we're living off of, you know, plastic money. We're living off of handouts from the government, like me, via unemployment checks, you know, which still don't really pay all my bills. And therefore, I've depleted. So I can't go out and buy anything, so I'm not giving back anything on a retail scale. So forget Black Friday. You know, it's going to be black and blue Friday with people killing each other just to get one little gift. It's not even worth it, but I really think.
And Merry Christmas, everybody.
Yeah. Now that I've totally depressed you, and welcome to the deadline, your hour of depression and
listen to our lives.
Yes. Actually, I think it serves to, you know, well, in some ways help. For those of you who have jobs, and you know what? I was thinking about this the other day. This is such an employer's market, so it's back to even that time period. Because remember when all right, here, as an example, when I first started working as a young woman out of high school, working full-time, and I went to school at night a couple nights a week. Okay. So back when I first started working, there was a definitive hierarchy. There really wasn't the old boys network was alive and well.
Okay? Still is.
And by the mid-80s, we got this thing called a new old boys network. And they were much more devious and much more dangerous because they were the young guys that smiled in your face and said how they wanted to promote women and blah, blah, blah. And they were stabbing you in the back in the boardroom, trust me, or on the golf course. But the old boys network, at least you knew. Their mentality was you should be home barefoot and pregnant. That's it. If you're showing up for work, tough. You're not going any higher than the secretarial pool. Drown there. We don't care. But you knew that's how they felt. They were overt about it. So when I started working back in that day, you knew where you stood. You knew you weren't really going to be climbing up the corporate ladder. And if a boss of the male persuasion sexually asserted himself on you, either verbally, physically, you couldn't do anything about it. If you opened your mouth, you were shit canned, or you were sent off to another department or demoted, or your life was a living hell no matter what. And I remember, God, the one time, I mean, literally had this boss, my nice boss had gotten promoted and to another company. He went to another company. The guy who was his successor was this lecherous, disgusting pervert. And literally would like lean over his desk to try. And I mean, mind you, I always wore suits back then, even though you had to wear skirts, but I wore, you know, very conservative, like Talbot, uptight, yuppie, scum, Connecticut kind of dress. I was very corporate, very professional. So I would have my suit on and everything and maybe some heels. But anyway, very professional. I never had any décolletage going on. And this guy would be like leaning over his desk to try to look down my blouse or... and then the worst was he literally chased me around his friggin' office one day. He had his golf club, and he kept trying to lift my skirt with his golf club. And I was like, Literally, I was so panic-stricken and shocked because I could not believe this behavior, and I didn't know what to make of it. Because, mind you, at this point, I'm only 19 years old. I don't know what the hell. And I'm married.
They had golf back then?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I went home that night, and I remember telling my husband, and I'm like, and I'm just starting to get into tears, and I'm shaking, trying to hit, well, of course, and I was trying to control it because I know his temper.
Right.
And his first reaction is what I expected. He's going to go down there and beat the living crap out of this guy. Mm-hmm. He's like, doesn't he know you're married? How dare he? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, you go. And back then, that's what a lot of young women, we went through. We went through all the sexual harassment at work. We couldn't say anything but to our husbands. And when you said something to your husband, of course, his reaction was, I'll kill the guy, you know, which is noble. I mean, it still makes you feel all warm and fuzzy. Thank you. But, you know, still, it's not practical for your career, you know. And then times changed, and all of a sudden it was like, oh, you can't even tell it's a sexual joke. You can't even make a comment about someone on TV being good looking. That sexual harassment, blah blah blah. So now it's completely different. However, the whole point of the story is now it's an employer's market. So everybody, so many people are unemployed. The employers are now back in the catbird seat where they can treat their employees like absolute crap, shit on them constantly, and you just have to suck it up, which means we're probably going to head back to the whole sexual harassment thing because, hey, baby, you want a paycheck. Six more of you lined up where you came from. We can totally abuse you.
That I don't think it's going to get to that point.
No?
Because there's so many now federal laws. And you do that, no problem. See you in court.
I don't know.
Back then, there wasn't talk about suing. It was, oh, I'm going to go kick his ass. Now today, it's suing.
Oh, that's because it's a federal law. So, but then you still got to get the proof. And then the time it takes you to go through all that, meanwhile, you know, your husband probably got laid off from his job. You're the only income at this point. So you're going to be, they're going to know who they have where they can totally, you know, it's a shame, but probably take advantage of people.
I don't think it's going to, they're going to take advantage of people by not paying them what they're worth. That's how they're going to take advantage of it. Mm. But there's not, I don't think there's going to be any sexual harassment.
And they've done that. They've lowered the salary so dramatically.
Depends on your field. Yeah. There are some fields out there that they are desperate for.
Well, that's why I went into medical, because they said medical and educational are the two fields that are untouched by this recession, da-da-da-da-da. Bull-loney. Let me tell you, top salary I've heard from any of my classmates, $15 an hour. $15 an hour. I'm like, let me see. I'd have to think way back to my memory banks as to when the last time I earned a pittance of $15 an hour.
So welcome to our paranormal show.
Yeah, you know, life sucks. That's the gist of it. But, you know, don't let them fool you with all these. And this is what happened, but this does pertain to paranormal in a sense, because you have to do your research. You have to know your statistics. Because to listen to the news, you would think, okay, well, then this isn't as bad as the Great Depression. That's because they're giving you a statistic of 10% unemployment. Well, see, the Great Depression was X amount. It was so much more. But they leave out the fact that there's a lot, 10% of a lot more people now makes it a lot worse than 10% of a lot less people then.
Yeah,
right? And you need to know this when you do your investigating. See, I'm bringing this around. Trust me here. Because some people will say, look, 5 out of 10 times I get an EVP. And it's like, well, you know, did they quantify each one of those 10 times was exactly the same? It was the exact same moon phase, exact same temperature. You know, there's so many variables that you can't just say broadly, 5 out of 10, I get an EVP, right? You'd have to really quantify and document everything to say, okay, 5 out of 10 full moons at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and this setting and temperature I've gotten. There's precision involved.
Oh,
you know, when you do scientific...
Moving on.
Anyway, I thought it made sense. Hey, guess what? I don't know if I told you. I spoke to Jeff Belanger. And this is talking of statistics. Here we go. He made a good point about the thousands of podcasts and internet radio shows that have cropped up for the paranormal field of research. He said he gets at least two, now they're auto email, at least two auto email invitations every other day. People are, it's just like an auto responder, but it's an auto email.
Mm-hmm.
So by that, he meant instead of getting like, dear Mr. Belanger or so-and-so, he gets, hey, you want to be on our show? Just click here. So they don't even know who they're banging is out to. And, you know, and I think to me that's insulting because someone of his caliber, you know, you don't just send out a generic, hey, want to be on our show? Like, we have nothing better to do. Like, you want to be on here? I mean, this is someone who's got like eight books published.
Do.
Yeah. No, I don't even do. I ask them personally and I say, you know, we can. But his thinking is this. If you're really into the paranormal and have a show, call him or email him after you've been doing your show for 6 months and plan on doing it longer. And I say that's excellent because we've been doing the deadline since September 2005. So
shoot me.
Eat that, you newbie losers. Ha ha. No, but seriously, you know, we have the time under our belts and so forth. And but there are so many that have cropped up. And mm-hmm. I mean, some of them, I can't understand how they even, you know. There's just too many to even listen to. So I guess I shouldn't feel bad that we're like, if we're in the top 100 out of 3,600 podcasts, we're doing pretty good.
You know? I think, but you bitch and complain.
You know, that one time, what did we hit? Number 5 or something? I was like on cloud 9.
Well, yeah, because that's just the way the voting happened.
I know. Well, that's why I'm telling people, you gotta vote. Like, the minute it clocks over to the first of the month, get the votes in. Because for a gleaming moment of time and space, we get to be in the top 10.
I don't really care if we're in the top 10 or not.
I do. It's just, you know, come on, throw me a bone here. I have such little... my life
to live
for. She
has such little hope.
Yeah. There's not much
else. Give her one thing.
Just let me just see that, like, woo, in the top 10. So, Brian, I understand you're going to Fort Mifflin again. And that's because that's part why Jeff was calling me, too, to say he had gotten your email.
Right.
And he wanted to know, like, if he goes down to Fort Mifflin to meet up with you, could he stop by Jersey with me and then have me take him to some haunted places. And I was like, yeah, that'd be great, you know.
Yeah, I shot him an email last week asking him if he was available the week after Thanksgiving, like during the week.
Oh, okay.
Because unfortunately, most of the weekends down there are already booked up, and they're booked up like months in advance.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm like, which shocks me because I think to like Eastern State and, you know, I could call them today and say, hey, next Saturday, can I bring a group there? Yep, sure. Yeah.
Eastern State?
Penitentiary?
No, that's booked. They've actually put up their thing now where you can navigate it yourself online to see when the next available thing is.
But still, but they're just not as booked as Fort Mifflin.
Oh, really?
I mean, because they also get the Boy Scouts there, all the reenactors, and all this other stuff. And it's just like, wow, you know. I'm surprised. I mean, it's a great place. I love Fort Mifflin. Ugh.
Yeah, I know. You keep going on about it. I've never been there once.
It is such a great place.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, not even speaking paranormal-wise, but for the price, you're getting a hell of a lot more than you do at Eastern State.
Yeah, that's for sure.
For, I think it's 70, I think, but they're talking about moving it up to $80 a person. You know, you investigate from 6 p.m. to 8 a.m.,
wow.
14 hours. And you have the whole place, and basically they're like, all right, you need us? We're up there sleeping. See you in the morning. And you can go everywhere.
Oh, really? So that's nicer.
Exactly.
Eastern State is blocked so much.
Exactly. Off. You know, they have no guides that go with you. They will give you a tour and say, okay, here's this place. The woman, Lorraine, who works there, she will not tell of her experiences. She will tell you the next morning because she wants to find out what you found and compared to what she's experienced. And it's huge. I mean, you can't bring 100 people there and do an investigation. Sorry. That's just way too many. 30 is about a good number.
Mm-hmm.
And,
we've sent groups down there before. We've never gone over that, right?
No. I mean, even when they do their sleeping with the ghosts, they don't take more than 30 because it'll just be too crowded.
Yeah.
And I mean, they put out snacks for you all night, coffee, water, soda.
And they have real functioning bathrooms, right?
Yes.
Nice.
Yep. It's amazing. And then they make you breakfast in the morning. I mean, all that for that little amount of money, yeah. Which is a hell of a lot cheaper than Eastern
yes.
State, which you got the portable toilets.
Mm-hmm. You don't if have, you can find it in
you
the
You don't
dark.
Have heat.
Yeah.
Or air conditioning. They have sleeping areas. And each of those have heat and air conditioning.
There's air conditioning even for the summer
yes.
months?
Yes.
Wow.
And they have fireplaces, which they bring out all the wood. And you can just cook, start your own fire. That we have, now they have a little pit outside that we cook up, we start up a fire on. You know, it gets a little cold, you just sit around the fire for a little while, relax, and warm up, and then go back out and do it.
Nice. So when was the last time you were there?
I think it was in October. I went down. Because the group I met, they said, oh, you know, why don't you come down, you know, hang out with us. It was, which was nice because I didn't have to pay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the great thing about it was, I forget the last, I think it was like May or June, I think I went down there for a sleeping with the ghosts.
Mm-hmm. That and the one Nathan went to? Or?
No, well, Nathan went like a year ago,
okay.
ago. It was a while.
Oh, by the way, I was supposed to tell you a while ago that Nathan said he hopes you feel better. But I'm just thinking of it now. But anyway, keep going.
Okay.
So.
But yeah, it shocked me because I said, oh, hey, Lorraine, how you doing? I said, you probably don't remember because of course I do. You're Brian from the Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Wow, she even knew the name of the society?
Yep.
Holy moly. That's great.
Yeah, she. Yeah. I mean, she says, you know, she says, I thank you and everyone else who helps promote Fort Mifflin for us, because you know, this is basically an all donation thing. We get no money, pretty much no money from the city at all.
Wow. Yes, it's a good place. I'll have to get down and check it out one of these days.
You should. It's you will.
So, what were you telling me about this one guy who had all these gizmos or something that he developed?
Yeah, well, one of the people.
This is like a Roundtree kind
yeah.
of person.
Yep. He builds all his own devices. He's like, why buy it? I can go build it.
Wow.
I mean, and a lot of stuff. He's seriously thinking about marketing it.
Really?
Yep. Like I told you about one of the things I don't want to really mention on here, so you know, because I know he says I'm definitely going to probably market this and sell this to paranormal groups. He says, and I guarantee you, people are going to buy this.
Hmm.
But it's great because a couple people in that group they're psychic,
mm-hmm.
which I'm on the scientific end, but it's nice to corroborate information.
Yeah.
You know, if they're saying, you know, I see a little girl here, and then you get an EVP with a little girl's voice.
Mm. Yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
That
but when we were down, I was down there the last time. Unfortunately, something, I don't want to say demonic because we don't know if it was demonic or not, but something evil was in the fort.
There was a negative
very
presence.
Negative.
Okay.
And he was attacking the one psychic.
Really?
I mean,
physically
not physically,
or?
But... Yeah. Draining him of energy.
Psychic vampirism, they call it.
Yeah. The one point, I mean, he was white as a ghost, and one of the other guys had actually help him up and walk him out. He
oh
could barely
God.
Walk.
Wow.
Yeah.
And then come on suddenly, or what were you doing?
We were just doing an EVP session.
Okay.
That's
so
it.
So there wasn't any kind of funky stuff going on? It was...
Nope. No, nothing really, really... Like I said, no one... You know,
it was just standard EVP sitting
yeah,
around
we were just
in the dark
around, yep.
saying, can you tell
and
us
it,
your name?
And it was a bunch of us. It was like eight of us in there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so it's just like, wow, you know. He went right for him. Which was,
and he's known to be psychic?
Yes. I mean, he's not famous or anything like that.
No, but I'm
but,
saying, but he
yes.
has a documented capability.
Yes.
And you would think he would have known to have protected himself better.
I don't know.
Interesting.
But it was the second time he was attacked.
Yeah, then he's doing something wrong.
Him and,
or he has something attached
him,
to him.
Him and the other psychic that was there were at the outer casemates, which is actually, you have to leave the fort area, walk across a bridge, and get
wow.
to these outer casemates that they found. And actually, they've been finding some more stuff out there. They've been finding some old gun mounts.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, yeah. there's a lot of stuff that right now it's kind of inaccessible. They think there's more things there.
Nice.
Wow. And they come back and did tell us that, you know, they were both, you know, saw something out there and felt something and that did attack him.
Wow.
Now, was I there to prove it? No, but I have no reason to doubt them, you know.
Hmm.
But like I said, almost everyone that goes there loves it. Loves it there.
Yeah. Wow. And that's in Philadelphia, right?
Right next to the airport.
Huh.
I mean, literally.
How do you get decent EVPs with all the plane noise going
about,
on overhead?
About 11:30, 12 is about the last time the last plane rolls in, till about 5:30, 6. So from about midnight to 6 a.m., there's no planes.
Oh, okay. All right. So you do have some quiet time.
Yeah. I mean, sort of quiet because, I mean, there is the river next door. So once in a while, a boat might go by. But, I mean, even if you're doing the EVP session with the planes, you know the planes. I mean, you can, oh my God, is that an EVP?
Yeah. You have to hear my younger son. He does like the ghost adventures. We were on a hike. We were hiking down this little trail at this one state park. And I guess the way we were going down a trail, it just was like challenging to navigate down it. And I guess it sparked in his mind, like having seen an episode of Ghost Adventures. And we liked the show. We really, my older son even said to me last night, we were watching one while we were eating. And he's like, you know, I like this better than Ghost Hunters. This is more, these guys are more entertaining. I'm like, I said, yeah, they definitely are, you know. Well, we're walking down this trail and my son Trent turns around and he goes, at this exact moment, we captured an EVP of footsteps. Listen now to the enhanced audio. I mean, he did it verbatim. I almost fell over. And so last night when my older son and I were watching what I had DVR'd of Ghost Hunters, I never realized because we first realized like last season it was, whoa, dude, did you hear that? Whoa, dude, did you hear that? It was like constantly. So now that Trent has pointed out at this exact moment, in this exact place, in this exact time, exactly how this was recorded. It's like exactly. So we're watching Ghost Adventures last night and we started counting one exact, one exactly, one exact, two exactlys. But Trent did it like flawlessly. At this exact moment, we captured an EVP. Listen now to the enhanced audio. But you know, it is, it's an entertaining show. I liked Ghost Hunters International because of obviously the venues they were going to. That was
right,
gorgeous.
I liked it, and like I said, when Donna and Brian left, I was just like, eh.
Yeah, it was like they left and the show left with it, you know. Yeah. Even though they were going to places, it just wasn't.
No, it wasn't the same feel anymore.
No. I miss her. We should have her on the show.
Well, see what I can do.
Yeah. Can you work that out? Work your scent magic. I just did the whole Karen from Will and Grace thing. Like, you know, work out your whole scent maga with the finger going up and down. Work it out. I guess you don't even remember Will and Grace, do you?
Never watched it.
Oh, it was funny. You know, Karen used to look at Grace and do that with the finger. I go, oh, honey, what is that? You know, like about her outfit.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Anyway, so Fort Mifflin is earning high praises from the Santometer.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's good to know. Maybe we will put together another NJGHS field trip, send some people down there. That would be pretty cool.
Yep.
You can lead it.
No problem.
Since you love it so much. You want to do meeting announcements?
Oh, why not?
What the hell? All right, Central Jersey Division, you're meeting on January 6th in 2010 from 7 to 8:30 p.m. in the Hazlitt Library, conveniently located at 251 Middle Road in Hazlitt. Team leaders Gregory and Sherry Irish will be on hand to run the meeting as well as answer your questions and look at your possible evidence of paranormal activity that you can bring out during the Share and Scare segment. All meetings are free and open to the public to attend, so don't be shy. Show up. If you're sitting on the fence, you're not sure if you want to be a member, go to one of the meetings. The other meeting, well, let's see. In December, the North Jersey is having a holiday gathering, so it's not a meeting per se. December 15th from 6:30 to 8 p.m., which would have been our normal meeting time, but normally we don't have meetings in December. But we're going to use that time to get everybody together and celebrate the holidays. If you want to bring a dish or a beverage to share, that's fine. You can purchase gift certificates for the NJGHS memberships or Morbid Mobile Tours. I'll be on hand with my Ghost Hunting New Jersey books. If you want to buy a copy, it's only $10 when I'm in person. I can even sign it to whomever you want while I'm standing there. Good stocking stuffer. I'll also be taking orders for your cupcakes. Now, I don't remember when I set the deadline for that. Oh, the deadline! How about that? But there is a cutoff, and it's on the homepage of the NJGHS site. I think it's December 8th. You have to get your cupcake order emailed to laurah@njghs.net by December 8th. And all the details of the different types of cupcakes that I make are on the homepage in the meeting announcements section. So take a look. If there's something you want, it's only $5 for 6 of these delicious cupcakes. Aren't they delicious, Brian?
Very much.
Thank you. So yeah, so check it out if you want to. Like, the only thing is I'm doing it on the honor system. If you email me and you order these cupcakes, I'm trusting that you will show up and actually pick them up, because I don't eat them, you know, and I don't want to be stuck with all this crap. So anyway, the next North Jersey Division meeting, an actual meeting, will take place January 19th. And that's in 2010, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the Yellow Room of the Community Center. Same place for our holiday gathering will be December 15th. And that's located at 293 Main Street in Hackettstown. Team leader Dina Tirico will lead the meeting. She hasn't given me meeting topics yet. I don't know if she's going to be doing that for 2010 or what. But, you know.
Who knows?
If you're listening, Dina, and you want to write up some topics.
Better be
listening. You can email them to me. That's great. So I hope you all will join in on one of the meetings, because it's good to get out there and meet like-minded people. And like I said, we always have Sharon Scare. Mm-hmm. So that's good if you've been going through the photo albums, especially with the holidays. You know, I swear they must give out green cards in the afterlife, and these people kind of come back and sneak into your photos during the holiday season.
Freaking illegal aliens.
So, you know, a lot of people will probably show up at the January meeting, and that'd be very, very cool. So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Do you have what it takes to be a ghost hunter? Are you fascinated with the paranormal? Then why not take your interest to the next level and join New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society? For a $20 lifetime membership fee, you'll receive training on our cemetery hunts, get to participate on investigative teams for private investigations, and receive discounts on books we sell. Members also get the reduced rate on special events we offer throughout the year. You can PayPal right from the homepage of www.njghs.net, or send your check or money order payable to Ghost Hunters to P.O. Box 8018, Parsippany, New Jersey, 07054. Happy haunting.
I say, Sean B., I've been thinking about all the things necessary to produce a proper paranormal broadcast.
Do tell, Nathan S., what are these vital qualities?
Empathy, commitment, quiet dignity, and self-respect.
Indeed! What a shame we don't have any of those traits! Oh yeah, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter show is rocking its way on the supernatural scene.
It's drive time paranormal broadcasting without the driving or the timing. Just go to www.ghostanddemon.com.
Think you know what goes bump in the night? You ain't heard nothing yet.
Each week we'll be bringing you the best and the worst kept secrets in the paranormal community.
Yeah, us, the Ghost Planet Demon Hunter, Sunday from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
www.ghostanddemon.com. The Ghost Planet Demon Hunter show is beyond the normal broadcast.
Hi, I'm Mark Skirman.
And I'm Mark Moran.
We travel on the roads more weird with our show Weird US.
And you're listening to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for Parashare. Now, do you have a paranormal experience or ghost encounter to tell? Then send it in an email to thedeadline@njghs.net. I think I've gone over this enough. It should be drilled into your brains. But for those of you who are new, if you send in a Parashare, you get a credit. And if you want to turn that credit in for membership in the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society, which is a $20 value, you may do so. If you want to have a natal chart done, which is your astrological blueprint, and that's a $75 value, then you have to send in 10 parashares to accrue 10 credits. And once you do that, we'll let you know, and you can send me your birth date, time, and place, and I will cast your chart. You know, I use a computer software. You get a full-color printout of the wheel and some verbiage from the software, but I also put my handwritten notes in. So it's worth it, right?
Yep.
Okay. We have a really good parashare. It's quite lengthy. I should take a sip of water before we even get going here.
Yeah, I'm going to lean back.
Yep. Enjoy the ride here, folks. Yeah, but this is good. I have to commend. I think this was... Oh, it's from a member, but she didn't want to use her real name. So let me just say...
Jane Doe.
I have it in here. If I can flip the paper. Bonju Patton. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's code name, but I know who it really is. But thank you so much, because this rocks. Okay, here we go. When I was 15, most of my friends were older. I had gone to an all-girls school since third grade, so the only boys I knew were my cousin's friends, and they were all stupid. At least that is what I thought at the time. There were 9 of us in a Volkswagen van, one of those old hippie vans people used to own back in the 70s. It was white, all beat up and rusted in parts, but it ran like a dream with thousands of miles clocked from California and back. The owner was Stan, my cousin Rob's friend, and he was the oldest of this group at 25. Long hair, beaded and cute, his dippy girlfriend, blonde and blue-eyed Heather, like the flower, you know? She kept repeating over and over in a very squeaky voice, probably because she had not yet reached puberty, and at 20 she still looked like 10 and acted like 5. How do you really feel? All right, I can't digress. This is long. There were 3 friends, all boys, geeks to the max, with their pens and notebooks and glasses. I found them cute, but they were also older than me, 17, 18, and 19. And brothers of Stan. Okay, so Stan, I guess, is one of 4 boys.
Sounds like it.
I don't remember their names, so I'll just refer to them as the Stooges. Not because they look like Moe, Larry, Curly, but because they acted like them in more of a nerdy, intelligent way. My cousin Rob and his friend Tom, who I was sweet on at the time, and my 2 girlfriends from school, Nat and Tat, they were sisters whose parents had a great sense of humor. Wow, it was Halloween, 1972. My grandmother had just passed away, and Stan's uncle, Uncle John, had just passed away. John lived alone in a large Victorian house. The last sibling of 5, he had never left home, never married, and worked until he passed at 66 years of age from slipping down the long flight of stairs in his home one cold September night. When the police did their investigation, they did not find anything on the stairs, but John's neck was broken and he was mumbling through the blood in his mouth about a woman on the stairs that he said tried to reach out to him. He was startled and fell backwards down the stairs, unable to stable himself, breaking his neck. The fall eventually killed him in a hospital a few days later. Oh, that's tragic. We were recruited with Stan's dog, Molly, to go up to the house and close it up for Stan's dad, a business owner who did not have the time to do it himself for his old uncle. The house was in upstate New York, and when we got there, the house looked like a haunted silhouette against a cold October sky. Dusk was falling. The house was a mile from an insane asylum, and the wind carried cries of anguish through the trees as we sat in the van shivering from fear and cold. A graveyard was over to the other side of the house on church property. Apparently John's family plot was there, and there were not too many graves lining the walls, and the gate and property was not well kept. Molly whimpered a bit, and I said firmly, "I am not going in that house." Rob ribbed me. "You scared?" And then she replied, "Yeah, aren't you?" He just shook his head and took out his flashlight and turned towards the sliding door to release the hinge and leave the van. Stan stopped him. "We have to have a plan, Rob," he said, and Rob stopped and stared beyond him at the dark house on the hill. The wind had whipped up a bit now and was howling all around us. Molly whimpered some more. "I'll stay out here with the dog," I said firmly. Rob just smiled and leaned into me to whisper in my ear, "Do you see something I should know about?" He thought it was funny that my mom and I had that gift of sight, and I don't think he ever believed in ghosts, but I did and still do. I stared at him and stuck my tongue out at him defiantly. "No, go get stuffed," I said, and he laughed, hugged me, and turned on the flashlight, sticking it under his chin so his face lit up like a jack-o'-lantern. He spoke in an eerie voice, "Let's take the Ouija board." "What? You brought my Ouija board up here? Are you nuts?" I screamed at him as he reached for his old green beat-up knapsack and took it out. My Ouija board was not a game board. It was the real deal. Someone had made it specifically for me, but I hardly used it, especially after I saw the movie The Exorcist. I didn't need that kind of shit in my life, and I heard so many bad things about people using Ouija boards that even the game board was creepy. Rob tucked the board under his arm and took out the planchette, which was from home, a crystal shot glass that he had been drinking whiskey from earlier. He shook the glass near his face and asked the van, "Who's with me?" All the boys piled out of the van and the girls held back, all except Heather, who dutifully followed Stan, reaching for the keys and I stopped her. "Don't take the keys," I said. "I want to listen to the radio." Heather looked to Stan, who nodded. Stan looked at his 17-year-old brother and said, "Peter, you stay with the women." Peter looked rejected, and then I caught his eye and glanced over at the house. He followed my look and shivered, hopping back into the van, sitting at the wheel of the car. The others, armed with flashlights and keys, started their ascent up the side of the small hill to the front door of the three-story house. We sat in the van, listening to the winds picking up speed around us, banging against the van. I crawled into the passenger's side seat as the other girls huddled together, tightening their jackets around them as we listened to classic rock. That is when we heard the buzzing, and it scared the shit out of us. Something kept buzzing, and the noise was coming out of Rob's knapsack. And then I heard Rob's laughing. I rummaged through his sack and found a two-way radio, and I punched in the talk button. I'm sorry. I almost lost it over the "I rummaged through his sack." All right, I gotta stay in character. This is really a good creepy story. Let me get back to this. "Rob? Yeah, Kat? Did I scare you? Is that what you wanted to do?" I asked. He just laughed. We got in the house, and man, is this place creepy. The old dude's been dead a month, and already there are cobwebs all over the place. "I hear noises coming from upstairs." Heather sounded like a frightened 3-year-old at this point. "It's an old house," said Stan. "Are you cold, babe?" I roll my eyes, thinking how lame is this, and everyone in the van catches my look and laughs. I grin. "Rob, you could have told us that you had this two-way." Yeah, I guess meaning the two-way radio. "What the hell fun is that?" said Rob. "I'm going to walk you through it all as if you were here in person." Squawk. I guess that's when it cuts out. "We're going into the kitchen right now. Oh man, it's cold in here. Gotta close that window." We hear the sound of footsteps, chairs moving, and a window being pulled shut. Rob returns. "Okay, so now we are going to use the board." Sounds of the board being placed on the table. Heather's voice is heard asking, "Don't we need a candle?" And Rob is, "What the hell for?" He calls out of the room. "Will the spirit of Uncle John come forward?" I hissed into the talking. "Are you nuts, Rob? You can't just ask that question. You have to protect yourself first. Say a prayer," Rob interrupted. "We're not going to sit down and say grace, Kat. We are doing a seance, and then we're going to check around the house and leave. Right, Stan?" Rob began again. "Is there anyone here who wants to speak to us? Please come forward." A howl rises up over the full moon over the car as we heard a thumping coming from the talkie. It sounded like a heartbeat, but not steady, irregular. "Rob, what is that?" I asked him, but he ignored me. Julie, my girlfriend, listened closely and whispered, "Do you hear that whispering?" We leaned in closer, straining to hear the sounds coming from the talkie, but only heard a loud squawk, causing Molly to bark nervously. Ruff, 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 ruff. Julie grabbed her collar. I guess the dog, not somebody else. Julie grabbed the dog's collar, calming her and pulling her in close to us. We huddled around the dark van, listening to the squawk box and Rob's insistence in asking for a sign. Another howl rose up over the trees, coming from the direction of the nut house as the road around us darkened, or appeared to, as I locked my side of the door. Rain began to fall along with a scattering of lightning and distant thunder. Then a large clap of thunder above us was heard, and then what appeared to be a scream came from the squawk box. Robert was screaming. Peter, who was busy fiddling with the radio tuner, stopped and listened as the screams filled the squawk box. It sounded as if the window flew open and the group in the house was yelling. "What's happening in there, Rob?" Peter said as he turned his body towards the house. We looked in that general direction to see all of our friends flying out of the house. The door sprayed open and arms and legs and people were racing towards the van. The howling wind, rain, thunder, and lightning abounded as I quickly unlocked my side of the van and moved to the back as they tumbled headfirst into safety of the hold, crying and breathing heavily. Rob and Stan were last as they locked up the house and ran down the path to the van. They did not look back as the lightning lit up the face of the spooky house. Rob was holding the walkie and my Ouija board. They flew into the van. Peter moved back into the hold with me as Stan took control of the wheel and drove down the road towards the nearest town. His face was white, his hands were shaking, his clothes were wet, and he looked horrified. "I don't know how that stain got on the wall, Rob. It wasn't there when we first came in, was it?" Stan gasped between words. Rob just shook his head as he pushed the Ouija board into my lap. I jumped at the heat of the board. "It's hot, Rob. Why is it so hot? Did you have it near a fire?" Rob stared at me speechless and shook his head. "No." "Why is it hot, then?" I asked. He said nothing. We pulled into an all-night diner. Heather was crying and holding onto her jacket while shivering in the cold of the van with lightning striking all around us. After Stan got out of the van, Heather locked her side door. He turned to face the rest of us with his back against the driver's side door. His face was ashen. It was awful. I have never been so scared in my whole life. We were right in the middle of asking for a sign, and the window we had just closed was flung open. The rain and lightning and thunder came pouring in. Then we all heard a voice laugh. It was a low, manly voice, and then a whisper, and finally a heartbeat. Peter, Jules, and I looked at each other without saying a word. Stan caught the look we exchanged and demanded to know what was going on. "We heard those sounds, too, on our end," Jules said. With the scorching hot Ouija board under my arm, I followed them all into the diner and sat at the counter and placed the board on the counter. I was scrutinizing it in the light when the waitress asked if I wanted coffee. I told her yes, and she stared at the board. I asked her, "Touch it, please." Skeptically, she reached out a finger and touched the center of the board. Almost immediately, she yanked her finger from the board and exclaimed, "Ouch!" With her finger in her mouth, she went to retrieve my coffee. When she returned, she asked, "Why is it so hot?" I looked perplexed and shrugged. Paying for the beverage, I took it to the large table where the gang was seated and told them I was going to bury it outside. Rob looked horrified. "Like where?" he asked me skeptically. I motioned to the outside, and everyone got up except for Stan and Heather. I stared at them, and Heather explained, "Someone's got to stay here with the table. We just ordered burgers." I rolled my eyes all the way out of there as my foot hit the gravel. I saw an astonishing sight, a church and a graveyard across the highway. I made a run for it. Rob followed me, as did the others. I crawled around the graveyard for a few minutes trying to dig a hole, and the others helped me. We got it down at least a foot or so, and I dropped the hot Ouija board inside and we covered it up. Then we stepped back as it burrowed up to the surface with us watching it. I couldn't believe my eyes. I whipped out a torch, or a lighter, and tried burning it, but it just sat there, flames all around it, as if it were waiting to be used again. That is when we heard a low voice of a man chuckling. Everyone booked except me and Rob. I'm not taking this shit home with me, Rob. You hear me? Rob looked ashen and kicked the board further into the graveyard with his foot. We just can't leave it there, I said, alarmed. Rob shrugged and took my arm and walked me out of there quickly. He hissed in my ear, "There ain't nothing we can do about it now." That was the last time I ever saw any of my cousin's friends again. But I heard a lot about the house in the weeks that followed the incident. My mother, who had a keen sixth sense about these things, asked me what happened to my board. I just told her I lost it, but I know she did not believe me. 2 weeks later, Stan and his family went back to that house, and sitting there on the table was my Ouija board. Etched on the wall of the kitchen was a large stain that had seeped through and looked like a leek stain in the shape of a man's head with horns coming out of his head. Stan's dad went out and got some paint and repainted that entire wall and then put the house up for sale that same day. When people came to look at the house, there was that same stain again. It had come through 3 coats of paint that they had put on that wall 2 weeks before, and no matter what they have done to get rid of it, it never goes away. The Ouija board is part of that house now, and the last thing I heard about it is that it is now encased in a glass tomb that does not have a key.
Wow.
Wow. So that's the 2 shows in a row of parashares on Ouija boards. Can we stress it one more time? Don't play with them. Don't do them. You don't know what you're doing. You have no idea what you're getting yourself into. It's a low vibratory tool. Like attracts like. You're just opening up a portal for all kinds of ick and yucky people who are yucky on this side. They're yucky on that side, and they're waiting to come through. So don't do it. Banju Patton, thank you. Thank you. Namaste. That was an awesome parashare. We'll be right back.
If you're ready to take your ghost hunting to the next level, you're ready to be a certified paranormal investigator by the New Jersey Ghost Hunters Society. The certification includes 4 hours of hands-on, concentrated training by the NJGHS leaders at the most haunted prison in the United States, Eastern State Penitentiary, located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. To participate, you must have all of your own equipment. Register online at the NJGHS.net website certification page. Costs are $125 for current members and $145 for non-members of the NJGHS who will receive their membership going forward. PayPal, MasterCard, and Visa are accepted. Upon completion of the course, submission of your report of findings, and achieving a total point score of 80 or better, you will receive your certificate and new certified paranormal investigator card from the NJGHS. All the details are on the certification page of the NJGHS.net website. So what are you waiting for? Take your hobby seriously. Become a certified paranormal investigator. Now's your chance to take what should be your last ride and get out alive. Morbid Mobile Tours lets you climb in through the suicide door or end loader and head out to the infamous Shades of Death Road in Warren County. While you're seated in the very space where dead bodies took the ride to their final resting place, you'll hear the grim tales of ghosts, murder, and disease. Jezebel is a beautiful 1983 Cadillac hearse who served her time in funeral processions and now is dying to take you with her on this haunted trail. Tours are $25 per victim and depart from the Hackettstown train station. To book your tour, visit Morbid Mobile Tours page by clicking the license plate on the homepage of the NJGHS.net website. Morbid Mobile Tours. We're waiting to take you away.
I'm Jane Doherty, psychic medium and author of Awakening the Mystic Gift. And you're listening to The Deadline, podcast of the New Jersey Ghost Hunter Society.
Hey, welcome back. It's time for haunted trivia. Now, the last haunted trivia question asked, what is the name of the haunted plantation where Interview with the Vampire was filmed? The answer, Oak Alley Plantation in New Orleans, Louisiana. Should also be noted that the old movie Hush, Hush, Sweet Charlotte with Betty Davis was filmed there as well. Did you ever see that movie?
No.
It was good. I mean, for its time. Not scary, scary, just kind of creepy. You know, how Betty Davis is this old woman. She's still trying to hang on to this plantation.
She's got Betty Davis eyes.
But, yeah, she did a good job, you know, having her one sister, I think, trying to drive her insane or whatever. I don't know. It was good. Anyway, this haunted trivia asks, in Cape Elizabeth, Maine, is a home built as this man's castle. It is haunted by the spirit of this man, his children who died there, and a woman dressed in lace with dark hair is said to be seen grieving over the death of the children. What is the name of this home or castle? Be the first person to email the correct answer to Haunted Trivia, and you'll win the latest issue of Weird NJ magazine. That would be the October 2009 issue, which is still the latest issue. And I will gladly send you a copy of it. I can't promise that Mark and Mark will have signed it because I don't really run into them that frequently, but at least if you get the right answer, you'll get the latest copy of Weird NJ magazine. As always, if you've won in the past 30 days or are a team leader of the NJGHS or Brian Sant, you are not qualified to win this contest.
I've been qualified for the last 4 years. What makes you think I'm going to start now?
Again, I want to remind everybody I will be schlepping into New York City a lot to get some stories and stuff, and I'm enjoying it. I love working on this book. It's a tough book to write. I didn't realize it would be this tough that a lot of the places that I have from so many other ghost books on New York City, a lot of the places I've found out now are either they're shut down, they don't exist anymore, or they just plain outright want nothing to do with their ghost aspect, and they just come right out and say, don't bring that here, I don't want to be in the book. It's been tough in that respect to get people, to find the place still active and open to the public, and to get cooperation from the place. So, but anyway, if you want to go in on one of my trips into the city and you want to go with me and do some investigating of these different places that I am narrowing down, that would be great. Feel free to email me at laurah@njghs.net. Don't forget there is a 10% discount for your in-store purchases at Paranormal Books and Curiosities in Asbury Park for NJGHS members. You do have to show your NJGHS membership card and you get 10% off. And John Zaffis will be up at Sussex County Community College in February 11th, day before my birthday. So, so you can check out that link if you want to go see him. And don't forget to be a friend of America's Haunted Road Trip. You can go to americashauntedroadtrip.com. I also have the link right on the homepage of njghs.net, and you can register. And that way you get to network with other paranormal authors from the series of books, as well as other investigators and paranormal fans.
Very cool.
Oh, and now, what was this other thing? Oh, there's the Ghost Hunters Academy show now. Now, that's with
Jason and Grant Jr.
Jr., yeah, the mini-me versions. So that's Steve Gonzalez and Dave Tango are running Ghost
Gonzalez.
Hunters. Oh, he goes by Gonzalez, even though it's spelled Gonzalez?
That's what I hear all the time.
Oh, okay. Sorry, Steve. All right, so they're running that. Ghost Adventures is up and running. What about Paranormal State? Are they still around?
Oh.
Yeah, I don't know either. Now, did you catch Extreme Paranormal?
Yes.
Okay, that was pretty wild.
Yep, definitely.
You know, I'm a big fan of Nathan. I've liked him I remember the very first time I met him was when we had the 2006 New Jersey Ghost Conference in Hackettstown.
Okay.
And I guess Greg and Sherry were working the door, so he came in with John Zaffis, and they nabbed him and said, you know, you got to pay to get in here. And that's good. They were doing their job. They were diligent and making sure, you know, nobody snuck in on us. Go Greg and Sherry. But So later that day, you know, he came up to where I was behind our NJGHS table, and he introduced himself to me and said that he had been a member for a while, but now he'd actually gotten to come to this conference. I'm like, oh. And you know, and he said, yeah, I came down with John Zaffis. I said, wait, what? Yeah, I said, are you his helper for the day? He's like, well, yeah, I came. I helped him lug everything in. And I'm like, that means you're a helper. He was allowed to have a helper. And he's like, and Nathan's like, oh, well, I already paid at the door. I'm like, no, what do you mean you paid? Oh, my God. I felt terrible. So I was like, I ran out front. I got the till back from Greg and Sherry, and I took the money out. And I'm like, I gave it back to Nathan. I'm like, no, you're the helper. You don't pay to come to the conference because you're busting your butt. You're helping this guy, you know, lug everything in, lug everything out. But I was, like, so amazed with, like, just meeting him that very first time. And then, of course, you know, we ran into him and Chrissy at Ghost World. And and that's when I finally, at Ghost World, when I finally got to meet his partner in crime there, Sean. And what a great group of people from, like, you know, the Doug and Scott L. from Ghostly Talk and Sean and Nathan. And they were a bunch of really nice people. I think, I forget the girl's name on Ghostly Talk. And she's, her name escapes me now. And I can see her face vividly from the Facebook thing. But really great group of people.
Jeez, I remember when you were like, Facebook sucks.
It still is lame compared to, you know, MySpace, but unfortunately it seems to be where everybody's going to now. Anyway, so I did catch Extreme Paranormal. I was able to watch that, and wow, blown away. I think they titled it appropriately when they said extreme. Mm-hmm. It's like, kids, do not try this at home. It's like very extreme. You know, and I don't think they give enough credit to Nathan having the occult background that he has. I mean, like I said, he was the one that came with John Zaffis, who is the nephew of Ed and Lorraine Warren. So John grew up with all this demonology stuff, so he knows whereof he speaks. And Nathan has been certified on the ghost hunting capacity through NJGHS at Eastern State.
One.
Yep. Plus, he's been, you know, the mentoring elbow there of John Zaffis. So this is a guy who knows his shit, for lack of a better expression.
Boy,
so,
I love cursing on this show. Oh,
I'm
gosh.
Sorry. After hearing everybody else, I just give up. But anyway, so kudos to Nathan and Sean. They did it. I don't know the other guy that was on the Extreme Paranormal show. Maybe I've met him and just don't remember. But I do know, you know, definitely Nathan and a little bit, you know, having met Sean. And I'm happy for them. I really think they have something cool. I hope that it gets to have more episodes.
We'll find out.
Yeah, it would really be cool. And it would be nice to finally see someone that, you know, I know, who has really done their time in the trenches of this field of study, get out there, instead of, it's like all these people who just jumped into this specifically to have a show.
Yep.
All they wanted was, I want my face on TV, I want to be in the newspaper, you know, and I'm like, I don't know. I think the old rule of what you resist persists, because one time I was at a party, one of my friend's parties, and he came up to me and he's like, you know, I saw you in the paper and the Star Ledger, I saw you in this, and he's like, God, you must be like, that probably doesn't even faze you now, you know, with how many things you've been in. And I'm like, well, I said, I don't really have time to see everything, and I think it's, I said, I'm always flattered by it. I think it's nice that if, you know, someone takes the time to call me up or take me out and interview me, I think it's nice. But, you know, I don't go looking for it. I mean, I would send out press releases for the organization when the meetings, years ago when we started doing this, I used to send a press release out every time we were having a meeting, just so we could get it announced. Now the meetings are filling up just by word of mouth, so I don't have to do that. So basically, I wouldn't say I resist the media, but I definitely don't, like, get in their face. They kind of, so I guess it can be perceived as a little bit of resistance because I'm not jumping down their throats. And like I said, what you resist persists, because now they persist to me. They come to me, which is good. You know, it's good for the, I do it for the organization, not because of me. It's because I want this organization to keep growing. The more people we get joining, the more people we train, the more people who are investigating, that's the closer we get to a lot of answers to all these questions. That's how I look at it. It's about the research, you know. If you're going into it specifically because you want a show, well, then look how Jeff Belanger said, there's 7 million stupid little podcasts now, you know. So you can do that. people have pushed us to have a vidcast, and Jeff is doing great. Have you seen his vidcast? 30 odd minutes. I've caught a couple episodes. I mean, Jeff's a natural in front of the camera. He's a good, clean cut, nice looking young man, and he's
the boy next door.
And he's very, you know, just he's genuine. He does a good job, and he's intelligent. And he speaks well.
Just,
he handles
just don't
himself
work for him.
Well. Oh, come on. He's not that bad.
Slave driver.
No.
Go get me some stinking badges.
No, he was fine. Oh, poor Jeff. No, he does really well in front of the camera. And, you know, now if anyone should have a show,
yeah.
I could see him.
Yeah.
You know, he's got like 8 or 9 books published under his belt. He's done a lot with Beyond Reality.
I know what he should do, and it would be so popular.
What?
Well, I don't know if I should say, because someone might steal the idea.
What?
Jeff should go around the country to different groups and investigate with them and show people how they investigate. Because you know what? That's how everybody learns. They learn from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if I could show, hey, you know what? I like the idea of what they're doing. Maybe I'll try that. Or, you know what? Maybe my idea might work. Let me write to them and say, hey, why don't you try this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all supposed to be a big organization all out to
Absolutely.
Prove the existence. You know what?
But he doesn't need to be traveling around because we have the internet.
Yeah, but you know what? You have the internet, but people don't film themselves investigating.
But you can still do that.
Yeah, but you know what? Then you wonder.
And with his show, 30-odd minutes, even if he did a part of the show, like a clip saying, hey, I heard from this team, and like different teams could send in their like tip of the day of what they do, and if he thinks it's pretty good and unique, then he can
Maybe
show it
too.
On his show. Because, I mean, honestly, with all the he's got enough traveling to do with Beyond Reality. He's emceeing all their conferences. Oh, and speaking of conferences, Troy Taylor is having, you know how he always has his American Ghost Conference, but mm-hmm. it's out in the middle of the country, wherever he lives, out in Illinois or someplace. And this year, he's going to do an East Coast version in Cape Cod, August 28th, and I've been asked to present. So has Jeff Belanger. Now, I did talk to Jeff, and he said he can't be there the whole weekend. He said he'll go up for whatever day he's presenting
right,
and doing
right.
a workshop, which is fine, but at least I'll finally get to see him by then, if I haven't seen him before then. So it's August 28th. It's in Cape Cod. If I think I put a link on one of our pages. If not, it should be there, or I sent it out.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'll make sure we have a link on the NJGHS site, but... yeah, I think I sent it out to our Yahoo group. So
yeah,
if you're on the Yahoo group, see, then you got the heads up. I didn't tell anybody, even in the last show. I haven't sent anything out on Facebook. I just promised the NJGHS mm-hmm. faithful Yahoo groups people that they got the heads up. But that's the deal. He's doing a conference in Cape Cod. And so I'm going to be there. I don't know who else. I know Jeff is going to be there. And then I got asked to do a conference in March of 2010, and that's down in Red Bank.
Okay.
And it's an all-day conference. They're doing the morning is more specifically workshops and presentations for writers, people who write about the parent, like ghost stories and all kinds of stories, like writers, you know?
Right.
And then they're going to have a luncheon and then a keynote speaker who's an astrophysicist. And then the afternoon workshops will be on different things that anybody could go to. And they'll also have all these authors there, me being
mm-hmm.
one of them, with a vendor table so you can walk in, buy the books, get them
right,
signed
right.
by the author. You can go to these different workshops on the paranormal. And I believe the one woman, Angelica, is coming down from Salem. That's why I went to her store years ago and had a really good reading with her. Her store is Angelica of the Angels up in Salem, and she's coming down. And this, I believe, is March 6, 2010, but I'll put the info on the website as well. So there's already some neat things cropping up for 2010, but I'm looking forward to the Cape Cod when I've never been to Cape Cod. So I was like, you know what? If I have a job by then, I'm going to make sure they realize I have to have a couple days because I want to go up there and make a vacay out of it, you know, and have time to actually do the conference, see all my ghost buddy people, but also have time to go
exploring.
I'm
not driving.
No? You know how I hate driving. And you're so good at it. You're a savage.
I barely survived you last time.
What? What do you mean? I just sat there like a good little girl. And we went through a couple drive-thrus. We had pee breaks. A
lot of pee breaks.
Well, jeez. Ow, my neck just cracked. Oh, God. This chiropractor is driving me nuts. I mean, he's helping, but jeez. Anyway, so yeah, you'll have to check out those conferences and see if you want to go to that. So don't forget, like I mentioned about America's Haunted Road Trip, I do have that link on our homepage as well. And I think that covers everything. You can check out everything on the site, right?
Yep.
So if we don't get to do a show before the Christmas and New Year's holiday, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year's. Hopefully we will. But just in case something happens and we don't, with the swine flu being what it is, you never know. So happy, happy, merry, merry, you know. And I think that covers it for now, right?
I think that'll do it.
All right. You guys, thank you so much for listening. And thank you, Brian Sant, NJGHS technician and producer of The Deadline.
Hail to the king, baby.
As always, our wonderful team leaders, Dina Chirico and Gregory and Sherry Irish. And of course, thanks to all of you for listening. Keep downloading the shows weekly and voting on Podcast Alley, because at some point in life, you have to meet the deadline.